Your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Just a few thoughts here of the scriptures. What's going on here with this thing? 1 Peter chapter 1. And last week we talked about the blessing of being saved and the salvation, the three points, three ways of in order to be saved, you know, the three steps, secrets, keys. I don't know what you call them. Anyway, they're just three things that happen. Amen. And then we came down to verse 3 and talked about the blessing of God the Father in verse 3, according to His abundant mercy, have begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And what a blessing it is to be saved and on our way to heaven today because of Christ. And to have a lively hope, a living hope is what that means. A hope that is just not, it's not in vain. It's not in this life only, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. But it is a hope that endures, that is steadfast and sure, that is anchored in Jesus Christ. And tonight we want to begin our reading verse 3 and go down a few verses. And the Bible said, "Blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now look at verse 4. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through the manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being more precious than that of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I want us to really look at our attention tonight at verse 4 and possibly at verse 5 here and talk a little bit about things that are coming, that inheritance that is ours and what we're looking for, and then the fact that we are kept to that inheritance. Now, if you were an Israelite at this time, a Jew at this time, you were scattered abroad. Of course, the Bible says that. We read that here in verse number 1. People that were scattered abroad. And so they were not in their inheritance as Jewish people. The land of Israel, the promised land, had been theirs, but because of sin and disobedience, they were spewed out of it, so to speak, under the judgment of God, and taken and dispersed into the Babylonian kingdom, the Assyrian kingdom, and then the Medes and the Persians and the Grecians, and now the Romans were in control. And so they really weren't in an inheritance that belonged to them. They were scattered abroad. And so when Peter is writing this portion of Scripture to them, they are pilgrims in search of a city. They are looking, they're not home, let me put it that way. And they are looking for something better than what they had. And so he is encouraging them that in these dark days of being dispersed abroad, in these dark days of really what's going to be persecution for being a Christian, in these dark days of being the object not only of the Gentiles but also of the Jews, the persecution that would arise, we better understand that we are not living for this world. We are not living for this world. If you're living for this world and this world only, it'd do you good to get saved tonight. Our hope is not to possess this world. God did not give us this world. God gave us, did not as Israel give us a land. God gave us a life. And tonight, our inheritance is not down here. We should not be earthly minded. Our inheritance is beyond eternity. It is beyond us on the other side. And so tonight, so many Christians are living for this world, laying up treasures here, seeking to build a kingdom here. I read here just in Proverbs where the Bible says the ungodly man, the unsaved man perishes, and so does his expectation. Because there's nothing here. There's nothing here. There's nothing here to live for. Solomon said, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." What a life, amen? Get up and go to work so you can come home and rest a little bit. Go to bed, get up and go to work so you can come home and rest a little bit. Get up and go to work, go home, rest a little bit. Get up and go. I mean, if this is all we've got to live for, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. And that's what the world is, miserable tonight. I was listening to a preacher preach the other night, and there was a study done of executives, wealthy executive CEOs, and in all of their fame and popularity and such like. And not one CEO, and here's what the study was, it was when they were dying, what they looked forward to or what they looked back upon and such like things. And not one of them said, I wish I spent more time earning money. Not one of them. 1,000 or 2,000 of them that was surveyed. None of them said, I wish I would have spent more time at the office, building more of a kingdom. Not one of them had done that. Sadly today, there are many Christians that are forgetting that our inheritance is not here. And we're investing here instead of over there. And so Peter just wants these Christians that are scattered abroad to understand, it may look bad down here. You may be, remember the Apostle Paul in his first days as Saul and the Pharisee, and he went and he confiscated lands, he confiscated goods, possessions, and caused people to be cast into jail, and many of them were put to death because of him. Man, if their whole life was in their possessions, when he arrested them and their possessions were gone, that meant their life was gone. And so what Peter's saying, listen, don't get attached down here. You may not have much down here, but there is something coming. And he's talking about an inheritance. Whenever my dad passed away, before he passed away, we had a talk, and he told me some stuff about the farm and such like things. And my mom lives there, and when my mom leaves this world and goes to that other world, then we will be able to do with the farm as we see fit or we want. But until that time, I feel obligated, so does my sister, obligated in some ways. You know, the inheritance is ours, but yet it's not ours yet. You understand what I'm saying? And so tonight, we have an inheritance, but we haven't got it yet. But it is coming. And so there's some things that are mentioned. It is incorruptible. It is incorruptible. Now, just so you understand what he's saying here, look over in verse 23 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. We have been born again of an incorruptible seed. The Word of God. Without any fault and error. No corruption in the Scriptures. Paul said we're not of those that handle the Word of God deceitfully. The Word of God is pure and holy. And we have been born again of that incorruptible seed, the Word of God. But it also gives us an incorruptible inheritance. Something that cannot be tainted by this world. Think about it. In Matthew, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. See, our treasure in heaven has no, it's not affected by the elements of the world, the sin-cursed world. We're in a sin-cursed world. If you have anything very long at all, you're going to find that the conditions of the world have a way to wear on it. You buy something new and in 10 or 20 years it isn't new anymore. It has a, the age has a time on it, amen? Our Explorer, our red one that we bought years ago, I thought it was in great shape. I walked around, somehow it's gotten rust. I think they ought to give me a different one for it. I thought it was supposed to be rust-free. It's not. Amen? It's not. Everything is subject to the elements of this world. Everything will corrode. Everything will die. Everything will rust. Everything will be moth-eaten. Everything one day will be destroyed by fire. But listen, we're not looking for what's here. What we're looking for is what's over there. We're looking for that city, that continuing city where dwells God and the Son of God. It's an incorruptible inheritance. Just as the Word of God is incorruptible, so the inheritance is incorruptible. It won't ever decay. And then he said it's undefiled. Here we're defiled by sin. Here we're defiled by the elements of sin. the presence of sin. Everybody in this room has sin pressuring in on them. The elements of sin. I wish I could say today with confidence and with a sure heart that sin doesn't have an effect upon me. But I'd be lying. And if you said it, you'd be lying. Because sin just has a way to get to you. Sometimes it comes roaring like a lion, and other times it comes subtle as a snake. But let me tell you what, sin has a way of getting into you. The pressure of sin. Now, we don't like hearing about sin today. We don't like preachers preaching on sin because it exposes us for what we're. But let me say today that sin ruins everything. We know when Adam and Eve were in the world, they were in a perfect world, a sinless world. They were in a world that could have continued. Had Adam not sinned, Adam would be somewhere around 6,000 plus years old, and you know what? He'd still be living. God made his body to live forever. Sure did. You know, if it wasn't for God putting a limit on man, man's heart would never quit beating. But because God put a limit on it, it quits. They lived to be 900. It was Methuselah, 969 years old, and he died. Then after the flood, they were 120 years old. And then later on, it was 70 years old. And if by reason there's more than 70 years, there's troubles and problems and difficulties. I'm just telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God built a magnificent building whenever he built our body to last. But the curse of sin had its effects. Not only did it bring death, but it brings a lot of trouble along with death. Aches and pains, problems, difficulties. I'm telling you today, things that never worried me as a young person, never thought about, seem to be creeping in because of the effects of sin. You know, whenever I was young, didn't need these things. I feel like that guy in the Bible. I see people as trees. I think they're people. They're just trees. Now I have to wear these things. I was talking the other night, last night. We had a great time at the hayride. Appreciate all those that come and took part in it. And Philip for getting all the things ready and such like. And we was talking about Brother Jack's dad bought the tractor over here for a project. And Brother Jim mentioned, he said, well, what about that growling in the power takeoff? And I said, I didn't hear it. Jack said, I didn't hear it. He said, my dad didn't hear it. You know, the older you get, the less you hear. So far as we know, it's still working. Amen. So don't anybody go out there that can hear, or you'll shake the whole problem up. You know, your hearing goes. Solomon wrote it over there in Ecclesiastes 12 when he talks about how your body changes the older you get. Your teeth, your taste. Doesn't do what it used to do. And Bezaliel said, you know, he said, I can't hear music anymore. I can't taste anything. He's about 80 years old. He said, I'm just about ready to die. That's the effects of sin. It's the effects of sin. But we're going to a place where a new body's going to be created in the likeness of the image of Jesus Christ that will live forever and ever and ever. And the effects of sin will not affect it there. We have a corruptible body, but we're going to have an incorruptible body, undefiled, that fadeth not away, a body that's going to be prepared for heaven. And so that inheritance, the Bible says, is undefiled. Sin's not in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, let me say it very plainly. When you die, you are instantly, that old nature is instantly dead, and you are taken to heaven without any sin. And only at the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment will be the remembrance of that evil, of the evil that we've done. The judgment seat, when the saints of God appear before the judgment seat and receive the things done in their body, whether it be good or bad. And then at the great white throne judgment, whenever we're there as witnesses against those that were unsaved, we're going to remember those, the tears. But once those tears are wiped away, never again will we remember this old life. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll never remember the effects of sin. We'll see the effects of sin in Jesus throughout eternity because those scars are there, that body that went through the cross. But we'll not remember sin. Thank God for it. Amen. It's undefiled. And it fades not away. Boy, I tell you what, isn't that a blessing? You know, it seems like things have a way of fading. I was telling you about them cars. You get a new car, and you know, after about 20 years, it does a little bit of fading. This the way the effects of it fades away. Sometimes some of the stuff that we print on newsprint paper, and just under the right conditions, it fades. It fades away. The print doesn't, but the paper does. You know, ladies and gentlemen, every one of us are fading away. We're just getting a little fainter in our fading. A little less polished than what we were 10 years ago. Sam and Elaine came over today, and on one of the walls of my house, of my brand new house, whenever the kids, after we got it done, and the kids were over one day, and I stood them up. So if you walk into my house, right where you come up into the kitchen on that wall, I just got me a pencil and I marked them all how tall they were, right in my brand new house, on my brand new paint and everything. So I marked how tall they were, and last year I marked how tall some of them were. And so Cal today said, "Hey, Pappy, see how tall I am." And so I backed him up there and put another mark on the wall. And that little rascal has grown 5.5 inches in 2 years since 17, and when we first did it. And man, he is really excited. 5.5 inches. Ansley's grown 6.5 inches, and in 2 years, she said, "Well, I'm taller than him." I said, "No, just because you growed more doesn't mean you're taller, sister. He has already got a jump on you." She didn't get that. Amen. Charlotte grew 9 inches in 2 years, and we barely got Greta up here to get her started. But you know what? Their glory days are ahead, and mine's fading away. Yeah, I'm fading. I wish I wasn't, but I'm fading. You know, I think I made mention this about a year or so ago. Getting older isn't a priority on my list of the way that it affects you. And I noticed the other day, I'm getting all these wrinkles in my neck, and I'm thinking about going and having some of that tuck and nip stuff. I'm not vain, I just don't want that. Amen? Other people do it. I don't see where it's a problem in the Bible. Amen. Somebody find the verse if you're going to criticize me. It says don't tuck and nip. Amen. Say, "Well, you earned them." No, I didn't earn them. But we're fading. Everybody's fading. But let me tell you what, we're going to a place that never fades. Isn't it amazing how these beautiful buildings, after a while, they're just buildings. They're just buildings. They'll marvel at them whenever they're first built, but they're just buildings. You get that brand new car, man, I'm telling you, it is. And then after a while, it's just a car. Mary Beth was telling us about the car they got, and I think she said maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and man, they're so excited about it, and that big hailstorm come through there. She goes, "Brother Tim, there's a big hail dent right in the middle of my brand new car." And she goes, "Every time I look out there and think of that dent," she goes, "God reminds me it's just a car. They all fade. In 20 years, they'll all be at the junkyard." You see what I'm saying? It's saying, but you know, when we get to heaven a million years from now, it'll still be bright and shiny. Them golden streets will still be as shiny gold as they ever were. Nothing fades. Listen, when you look at me a billion years from now, ever how I'm going to look up yonder, it's how you're going to look at it. The Bible says we're going to be known as we're known, so I'm going to hurry up and get skinny before I get to heaven. I don't want to be fat all the way through eternity, amen? Oh, no. Might motivate you. Yeah, you won't look at me and say, "Boy, you've aged in the last million years, brother." No, I haven't. I haven't. I'll be just as good then as I've ever been. Nothing in heaven fades away. The streets of gold, the mansions, all the things that we talk about, none of it fades. None of it fades. God said we have an inheritance undefiled. And here's the thing. Reserved in heaven for you. God's got it set aside in heaven for you. Now listen to me tonight. If you're not saved, or if you're saved, then you have something reserved in heaven for you. If you're not saved, you have something reserved for you. And that's hell. That's what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians. Reserved under the judgment of God. So for the saved person, man, thank God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we have something reserved, set aside for us. Man, what an exciting thing, amen? I know my kids think whenever I die and Yvette dies, they're going to get a lot of money. Surprise, surprise. Amen? They're going to be thinking, that dude left us with a bill. Amen? They get a house and that's about it. And the bank owns half of it still. I'm just telling you, the things down here, it ain't reserved for anybody. You know, we have an economic collapse and everything we all own could be gone in a heartbeat. It ain't reserved. But I have something reserved. That means it's guaranteed. It's kept forever in heaven. It's reserved. I don't know if you've ever called in for a reservation or not. I don't mind waiting 4, 5, 10 minutes for a place to sit, but I'm not going to wait an hour and a half to go to eat anywhere. Amen? Well, some of you all aren't doing that, so some of you must. Okay, so since you wait an hour and a half, that's all right. I went down to Lambert's one time. They said it'd be an hour and a half. I said, that's all right. I'll get me some McDonald's. Amen? Same stuff. I was just as full, and I was a whole lot further headed home. But you ever call in for a reservation, you make your reservation, you get there, and they said, oh, we don't have it. I went up to Casey's the other night, and Yvette said, hey, we called in pizza, and so I went up there, and I was supposed to get 2 pizzas. I get up there, and boy, I see pizzas piled up. I'm thinking, man, there's my reservation. So I said, hey, I got a reservation for 2 pizzas. I mean, I called ahead. The guys get to looking at that, call every name. There's a Greg, there's a Hillary. That was Brother Greg and Charlotte that came and got that. If I'd have known that, I'd have 2 kids. Amen. There's a Greg and a Hillary and a Bill and a John, and there was some other guy there. And he said, we don't have yours. So I called Rachel. I said, you call this in here? Yeah. I said, she called it in. He said, no. Nah. He said, we must not have wrote it down. We didn't keep no reservation for you. I said, well, make me one anyway. Have you ever been disappointed in the reservation? You get there and they said, oh, we didn't write it down, or we gave your table to somebody else, or whatever the case was. I remember when I first moved over here, I went over there to the dentist over in Salisbury. Can't remember that guy's name. I was 5 minutes late one day. I forgot why I got late. Probably my fault. And he said, no, he said, you're late. He said, you have to come back. He said, I can keep your reservation. Well, good night. I just got some Adam, ain't another one, amen. Went back. But I was on time that time. But isn't it nice whenever you got something reserved for you? Reserved for you? Go in and, yes, sir, we've got your table ready. Praise the Lord. Hey, when you get to heaven, God's not going to get to heaven's gate and say, oh, I'm not ready yet. No, he's got it reserved. It's kept for you. Kept for me, praise God. Well, that ought to get everybody excited, even the unsaved. Reserved, kept. Well, ladies and gentlemen, think about that. In verse number 4 or 3, God saves us, gives us a living hope. And that would have been good enough. That would have been good enough. But God said, since you accepted my son, I'm going to give you a big inheritance along with it. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings, the Bible says. The Bible says that we're heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. I mean, we have been loaded down. Is it Psalm 103, I think, that says daily he loads us with benefits? Lamentations 3 that says every morning his compassions are new every morning. I mean, God just loads us down. Not only did he save us, but then he gave us something to look forward to, an inheritance. The glories of heaven. Man, I'm telling you, as a saint of God, we haven't made. When Bethany got saved, we're going to baptize her here in a few minutes. When she got saved here a few weeks ago, I've been saved 37 years. She's been saved 2 or 3 weeks, ever how long it's been. You know what? She has much right to the inheritance as I'd have. Yeah, you say, well, that ain't fair. She's only been saved 3 weeks. Yeah, but she got the same Savior I got that entitled her to all the blessings of heaven that I've got. Oh, I tell you, it's wonderful how God does it. Just gives us those things, blesses us with those things. All those treasures we lay up in heaven, they never defile, they never fade, they never are stolen from us. I tell you, we're going to have some treasures in heaven one day by what we invested here on this earth. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I'd hate to know that I invested all of my money here. I invested all my time here. I invested all of my efforts here. I invested all of my future here. And never laid up nothing for there. Man, I'm telling you. I think I told you a couple years ago, as I got to think about getting older and dying one of these days. Man, I want to do more in this last part of my life than I've ever done in the first part. Man, I've been trying hard, laboring hard, trying to stay focused on doing more for God in these latter days, because I don't know how many I have, than I ever did in the first part. Well, I know one day I'm going to meet Him. And I got short time to make a lot of rewards. You say, well, you shouldn't be working for rewards. Well, I am. And it's scriptural, so I'll just keep doing it. Remember what the Lord said to Joshua? Thou art old. How would you like to have God call you in for a meeting? Joshua, we need to have a talk. Okay, I'm coming, Lord. Yes, sir. You're old and well stricken in years. And the news don't get any better, and there's still a lot of land to get, brother. Oh. Y'all don't see the humor in that I do. I think it's pretty funny, amen. Of all the things for God to have said, you know, Joshua, you've done a good job, brother. You know, time, don't have a lot of time, but boy, thank God for what you have done. No, he just said you're old and stricken in years. That's always encouraging, isn't it? You're old. You're going to die. There's still a lot of work to do, and you ain't done it yet. You must not have a sense of humor tonight that I think about. I thought it was pretty funny myself. And you know, Joshua, he kind of changed strategies after that. You know what he did? He called all them people, them other tribes together and said, you guys get out there and scope out that land. Get back here. We're dividing her up before I get out of here. And he did. Why? Well, we don't have forever here, but we sure got forever over there. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know all that God's got for our church in the time that I'm going to be the pastor here, but I want to do all we can for God. I want to lay up treasure after treasure as an individual, as the pastor, as a church. I want us to do great things for God. I want us to do great things for God. And listen, if you haven't been doing great things for God, there's a great opportunity to do great things for God. There's still opportunities, amen? I think about some of the things that God gives us to lay up treasures in heaven. You know, every soul you save is a treasure laid up in, or soul that you see saved is a treasure laid up in heaven. Every offering, giving that you do is a treasure laid up in heaven. Every time you use your talents and your abilities for God, that's a treasure laid up in heaven. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Boy, I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to stand before God and God say, well, you're saved. No, I want God to say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm glad you got saved, or I'm glad you're saved, and all these things that you've done. I was telling my Sunday school class today, you know, we ought not just look at the things that we're going to be judged on that we didn't do, but man, think about all the blessings we're going to get for the things we have done. Surely we've done some good as Christians, amen? Surely we've done some good. You know, if you're older than I am, you may be getting closer to the deathbed than others. You ought to do all you can for God. You know what Solomon's worries was? You read it in Ecclesiastes 2 or 3. This is what his worries was. One of these days I'm going to die, and I got to leave the church to these characters. And I just don't know how they're going to handle it. What a way to think, amen? I don't know if this is it. Now, Solomon isn't living right. He's squandered a lot. And he says, my greatest fear is I'm going to leave and some knucklehead is going to take my stuff. It's just stuff. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, have you ever really thought about that? You know, you have estate sales. My brother that passed away, my oldest brother, him and his wife were antique collectors. And I mean antique collectors. I don't mean junk collectors. I mean antique collectors. There's a difference. And my brother had an eye for money. I think he had the first nickel he made and much of the first nickels you all made. All right? And he just had an eye for that stuff. And one day, before my brother died, he decided to get rid of all that stuff. And I mean, I'm just not talking, you know, a room. I'm talking a shed full or two. I mean, he got rid of all of it. Had a big sale, sold all of his junk. Man, he's so happy. He didn't live but about a year after that. But man, they had an eye for that stuff. When my sister-in-law passes away, I don't know what she's going to do with all her stuff. She has more money than they had money. She had money. I don't know what they'll do with all their land and all that. But you know what? Somebody's going to get it. And whatever she's laid up in heaven to be hers, and whatever she's done here, it won't help any. Solomon said, boy, the misery of life is I've got all this wealth, and now I just don't know what kind of person's going to take it over. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Well, guess what? He found out he didn't raise a very good one because Rehoboam squandered a lot of it. And what Rehoboam didn't squander, the other guy did. And the other guy did, and the other guy did. Come down to it, they was all broke. You see what I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen? Let's consider where we're going. Let's consider that inheritance that we're going to get. Now I don't know anybody's heart here tonight, but I'm going to tell you this: everybody in this room, you young boys on this front row, saved and on your way to heaven, man, you've got a great chance, a great opportunity to serve God. Man, you serve God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Man, I wish I could go back. We've lost like 18 or 20 kids out of our class and that I went to school with. And so it's all over, you know, Facebook, what they're going to do and this, that, and the other. So anyway, one of these schoolmates of mine says, you know, I wish I could go back to my 20s. I said, me too. If I knew then what I know now, or know now what I knew then, ever how you're supposed to say that, man, you think you'd make a little bit better decisions? Think you'd be more a little aggressive towards the kingdom of God and the things of God? I mean, surely we wouldn't make some of the dumb mistakes that we make now. But you know what? You only get one life. And whatever you're going to do for God, you better do it right now. Because when you get to heaven, the opportunities that you have to do anything will be over with. An inheritance. You can add to it or you can take away from it. But there's an inheritance reserved in heaven for you. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have a heaven to look forward to. I know our world says this, well, they're in a better place. No, if somebody's not saved, they're not in a better place. They're not. And if you're not saved tonight, you're not going to heaven. There is a reservation for you in hell, reserved for the judgment seat of God. But God will save you tonight if you get saved and give you an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away. And you could have that tonight. I'd much rather keep the reservation I've got than what the lost man has. I'm looking forward to my reservation. Amen. I am. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this night. Lord, what a privilege that it is to bow our knees and humble our hearts here. And Father, to pray, to thank you for this scripture that makes us excited about heaven, makes us hopeful for heaven. Lord, tonight I pray that each one of us that's here would, in this week ahead, if you give us grace to live, that we'll labor fervently as we consider that inheritance that's ours. Now, Father, I pray today that if there's somebody here not saved, they'd get saved. Help us, God, to be evangelistic throughout this week, that others might come to know Christ as well. In Christ we pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and Miss Rosemary's going to play the